Let us turn again to the chapter of God's word which we read together, to the first book of Kings, chapter 10, and let us consider verse 8. 1 Kings 10, 8. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and hear thy wisdom. This is the Queen of Sheba speaking to Solomon. She had come, it would seem, from the very south of the Arabian Peninsula, all the way to Jerusalem, because she had heard about the wisdom of Solomon. It was quite a journey. It wouldn't be in the power of many to do so, but she could take her camels and she could take servants and be provided for on that long trip back and forth. But great as Solomon's wisdom was, we are to look beyond Solomon. We are to think of one who came into this world, who became man, who is God from all eternity and became man, to do wonderful things in this world, to suffer in the place of sinners, that he came that he might reveal wisdom. He came that he might show his wisdom in the wonderful things that he carried out. He is greater than Solomon in every way. And he has his servants. He has those who are continually before him, we might say. They hear his wisdom. They're ready to listen to his wisdom. And we can say of them, much as the Queen of Sheba said, happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. And we should understand the word happy as being more the idea of being blessed. It's a, one might say, a happy position to be in if one has been blessed by Christ, one has been blessed by God. And that's what we are to think of here. We begin with the idea of Solomon and his wisdom, and that it was a good thing, a very good thing, to be in a position to listen to what Solomon had to say. But if we can be called the servants of Christ, if we are those who are standing before him, as it were, wanting to be in his presence, and in particular, wanting to pass into his immediate presence when we leave this world, surely we can be described as those who are blessed indeed. Well, with that in view then, let us begin by considering Christ's wisdom in the light of Solomon's wisdom. And then in the second place, the blessedness of those who listen. That is true in connection with those who were present where Solomon was, but more particularly, the blessedness of those who listen to Christ Jesus, who is infinitely wise. First then, Christ's wisdom, with Solomon's wisdom, is giving us some light on these things. And then secondly, the blessedness of those who listen. Now, what we are told about Solomon is that the Lord gave him wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. And there are particular men mentioned that he was wiser than. He was wiser than these men, and it was all coming from God himself. He made many a mistake, many a serious mistake, for all his wisdom. And I suppose that is to teach us, among various other things, that we might, that godly men have thought of, as for instance they wrote about Solomon and his wisdom. But one thing it should teach us is that the source of wisdom is from God himself, and that no mere man in this world will be perfectly wise. There was only one perfectly wise person in this world ever, though Adam in his natural in his original condition, it must have been very wise before sin infected his thinking processes. But Christ is the wise one that has been in this world. He's not in this world as far as his human nature is concerned, as far as his divine nature is concerned. He is everywhere, but he is there as the God-man on the throne of glory. And what wisdom he is able to teach, and how we should be going to him and asking to be taught. If you are here this evening and asking and thinking about your own ignorance, your foolishness, and thinking about the way to eternal life, and you cannot properly fathom that way, you do not know what it is to believe. Well, there is one who knows. There is one who knows how to teach, and that is Christ. Oh, can you go to him? That might be another question with you. Yes, you are to go to him. You have full permission to go to him. You are to pray. You are to cry out to him. Think of how Bartimaeus cried out to the Savior for help. Well, you cry out wherever you are. It wouldn't be very appropriate for you to cry out out loud just now. But you can cry out in your soul. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and make me wise. There's many a way you can adapt the prayer of the publican to meet your precise needs, as you are conscious of them just now. But cry out in your soul to the gracious God of heaven. Ask him to make you wise. Ask him, can I put it like this, to put you in contact with Christ. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, so that you would stand before him and that you would hear his wisdom. How much we need that. How much we need Christ to come near us. And he can, working in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He is able to do that. Oh, be asking him, where you are just now, asking him to make you wise. Ask him to take away your foolishness. Yes. Now Solomon was wise. We could follow him through the book of Ecclesiastes. How he was seeking wisdom and enjoyment and seeking it too much in the things of this world. But when he had recounted his tale, he recounted what he had to say and what he had experienced throughout his time in this world. He came to the conclusion of the whole matter. And he said, that's at the end of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, what conclusion had Solomon come to? He said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. There you have it again. We've been noticing it already today. We were noticing it last Sabbath, the judgment that we must all come to. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter then. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Is there anything good in your own life? It would be wise to be seriously considering the good works we should be doing. And these will be good works that we would be taught by the great teacher, the one who is altogether wise. He would teach us what it is to fear God. Yes, and in the book of Proverbs, Solomon again and Christ again, because it's from chapter 8, that section which was spoken by the one who calls himself wisdom. What's that? Who's that? That's Christ. It's not only that he is perfectly wise. That is so as far as all three divine persons are concerned. But he is wise as the one who communicates wisdom. Yes. And what will we hear if we listen to him? Well, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. There you have that expression explained. What is it to fear God? It's to depart from evil. To seek good and to pursue it. To seek good. We're to have this hatred of sin. We're to have this love for holiness. That's all brought into the idea. It's all included in the idea of fearing God. Not that we would be terrified of God, for we are to come to him through Christ, but that we are to have this holy respect for him, this fear of doing what would offend him. Yes. And blessed are they who hear these things. Blessed are his servants. Blessed are those who stand before him and hear what he has to say about wisdom. Yes. But when we think of these things about Solomon and his wisdom, and there's so much more that could be said, how many times Solomon had gathered a proverb among his many proverbs that distinguished between the wise and the foolish. But let us remember the words of Christ. When he was referring to Solomon, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. We're not to stop at Solomon. We're to go further. And we're to stand in the presence of Christ. That's to be our desire anyway. For if we come to him, we are to say, by way of contrast with Christ, by way of contrast with Solomon, a greater than Solomon is here, one who is more wise, one who is infinitely wise, who never made Solomon's blunders. He feared God perfectly. Oh, Solomon is in heaven without a doubt. The Lord brought him back when he fell away It wasn't anything like as careless as he should have been. That's part of the human disease, the disease of sin. A disease that loathsome is, so fills my loins with pain, David was saying, or singing. There was wisdom there. It wisdom revealed from above. But you see, there's this. There's the wisdom that Christ reveals. Christ is perfectly wise, of course. But it, and that means that when Christ speaks, he is the source of wisdom. He works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, we might say, to teach sinners so that they would receive instruction, so that they would be wise. Yes. He is described first by way of prophecy, and then the fulfillment of that is referred to by Peter in the Acts of the Apostles, when Moses was speaking about him. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Excuse me. And what you have there is the perfect wisdom of Christ. Oh, are you going to him yourself, or are you asking at any rate that you would be drawn to Christ as the source of perfect wisdom? Are you? Is that the cry that is going up from your soul to heaven? Oh, Lord, make me wise. Oh, be asking that from the depths of your soul this evening, that Christ would make you wise, that Christ would teach you, that Christ would so work in your heart through the Holy Spirit, so that you would be wise and that you would be thinking according to what Christ has been saying to you, what Christ is saying to you in his word. He is this prophet. He is this teacher. He is the one that teaches. Who teacheth like him was the question that was asked. It's still so. Oh, may we not stay away from Christ when he is such a wonderful teacher. May we not be saying, I will hear thee again of this matter. That might be fair enough if it was something that didn't have much content, if the message of the teaching didn't amount to much. It wouldn't be strange if we were to hold back, if we were to say, I'll come and see what you have to say at some other time, even if we would be rather vague about it and not specify any time. But, you see, when it is such a wonderful message, when it speaks of eternal life, when Christ can show us and teach us the way to eternal life, when he can show us the way to eternal blessedness, oh, are we going to hold back? Are we going to delay? Are we going to say, there's no hurry for this? Are we going to say, life will go on. I have that assurance. I'll have the opportunity of hearing Christ some other time. Well, we don't have that. And this is a message that is worth hearing. Who has ever regretted that they spent some time seeking salvation through Christ? Who has ever regretted that they listened to Christ's ambassadors, who pointed them to Christ and the wisdom that he made known as the great prophet? Whoever regretted that they spent time earnestly seeking salvation by the grace of God, who made them willing to seek and then made them willing to lay hold of Christ? You see, this is something worthwhile. If it's not worth listening to. You can turn away your ear. You can wander away. You can start to think your own thoughts. But that's not what Christ is to say, that we can describe like that. Here is perfect wisdom. Here is wisdom from above that will show us the way that we ought to walk through life. Yes. And to come back to Proverbs chapter 8, where wisdom is speaking, where Christ, in other words, is speaking and calling to sinners. He says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Isn't it so? Christ is speaking. Christ is calling on sinners. He says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Unto you, who is he calling to? He's calling to men, human beings, you might want to say. He's calling men and women, children and adults, all who can have the least degree of understanding of what is said. Christ is calling to us, and Christ is offering his wisdom. He's, as it were, if I can use this illustration, he is an individual tutor, as you might engage a tutor for someone who is not getting on very well in school, is considered to have much more ability than he is able to absorb or has succeeded in absorbing what is being taught. And what I mean particularly is this. He comes and teaches the individual. It's not just that by his ambassadors he speaks to everyone, but, and would you not this evening ask that the Lord Jesus would come and tutor you in the things that belong to your peace, so that you would believe on him, so that you would receive the gospel, the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Would you not engage Christ as a tutor for you? It's all very well listening to a preacher or stopping somebody who you know has found the way of salvation and ask, will you point me to Christ? Now, I'm not criticizing that in the least, but what I'm saying is, here is to go a step further, and the two things can go together. Yes, you are to use human means. But when you come to church, are you not to say to the Savior on the throne, the Savior exalted to give repentance and forgiveness of sins, are you not to ask him, Lord, teach me as if there was no one else in the world, and yet it says, unto you, O men, I call. And the emphasis there is intended to be on this, the plurality. It's to everyone who hears. It's intended for them as individuals. They're not to ask, is it for so-and-so? Is it on the people, is it for the people beside me, or the people in front of me, or the people in some other place? No, it's as if you were the only person in the world, and Christ was coming to you, to set wisdom before you, and you were to say, yes, by all means, bless these other people, but bless me. Do not leave me to go on in ignorance, but teach me. Yes. And to you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. How will I understand wisdom? We need Christ to be teaching us, each of us, as an individual. But he's working by the Holy Spirit. Let us remember that. Christ, applying the truth, working in the soul by the Holy Spirit, to give a new heart, a new understanding, a real willingness to hear what God the Lord will speak, a willingness to listen to Christ. Yes. And if you are inclined to say again, I will hear thee again of this matter. No, as it were, stop Christ. Somebody was thinking of Christ taking one last look of at Scotland as he turned away, whatever century that was. Christ taking one last look of Scotland, and he had a suitable question that Christ was addressing to Scotland. Would Scotland let him go? I don't think that's quite what it was, but it may serve as an example just now. And we in our time may think of Christ turning away from Scotland and taking one last look at it. But he hasn't left us yet. He may not be drawing many to himself. All the more reason for us to ask him to remain, to ask him to work. But he is still saying, unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. He's speaking to sinners generally. We do not need to have an envelope delivered to us with our own name marked on it. The message comes to everyone who is standing by him. He has said, even where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we can think of this, that Christ is here this evening. And Christ has various things to say to us. He uses an ambassador to speak. Yes, we will not hear Christ's human voice. That's not the way he is working. But that's not to minimize the truth of this, that he is present, that he is speaking. Unto you, O men, I call. Unto you who are here this evening, there's this voice of Christ, young and old, male and female. Whatever our characteristics, whatever our attainments in life, Christ is speaking and he is able to teach us. He is able to convey spiritual wisdom to us. Yes. So listen. Listen for the voice of Christ speaking personally into your soul. Yes. It's no ordinary message that Christ brings. He is saying, I will speak of excellent things. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Yes. So he speaks truth. And it's wisdom. But this is important in a day like ours. It's truth. People can speak about today, about things being true for you, but not for me. Well, Christ knows nothing about that. And he is perfect wisdom. He knows nothing about these things. And his wisdom is perfect. What he says is truth. And it should be truth for you and truth for me. It should be truth for us all, and we should be crying out for more. Lord, teach me further. Teach me the way that I should go. Teach me more concerning the way of salvation. And teach me in such a way that the truth would be applied to me personally. Yes. Oh, be asking. Be asking as you sit in your pew and as you listen to these things this evening, this eternal person whose wisdom is everlasting. He is not needing to learn anything else. He is a person of infinite wisdom. Yes, we read of Christ in this world, that he grew in wisdom. That was true of his human nature. But oh, think of the divine person that Christ is, and he knows everything. He is utterly reliable. Hear what he says. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, whatever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains, abounding with water. He says, of his time, I was going to say, it's eternity we're speaking about. But we can only think in human terms. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That's Christ, in infinite, eternal communion with the Father. Communion with the Father in connection with these things, in particular, that we was to do when he came into this world. He has come. He has finished the work that was given him to do. He has worked out an everlasting salvation. It's there for the taking. He's offering it to us. He speaks these wise words to us. Yes. He is saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, there it is. There's wisdom for you. There's wisdom in connection with the way of salvation. It's being set before you. God so loved the world. Go throughout the world. Go right round it. Go to every place. If that was possible for you, see if you can find out anyone who can afford to turn away from the words of Christ. Anyone who could say with authority, there's no salvation for me. You cannot find such a person. You cannot. You cannot. Christ is saying, and to you, wherever you are in this wide world, and to you, is the word of this salvation sent. That is, if the gospel has come to them. See how he dealt with the woman of Samaria. I'm not going to go through the whole account, but same at the beginning of his conversation with her. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Christ was asking for a drink from the well of Sychar, but he takes the opportunity of speaking to the woman about the needs of her soul, the spiritual thirst that she should have had. He says, if thou knewest the gift that God gives, thou wouldst have asked of me, and I would have given thee living water. Water is spiritual blessings, in other words, that it can do you good, for I have wisdom. I am wisdom, he could have said. Yes, I, wisdom, speak as you have and had it. Doth not wisdom cry? At the beginning of Proverbs 8. Yes. There's wisdom in Christ. And we are to be seeking it for ourselves. And we are to be seeking this living water. Not stale water. Not water that has been lying around in whatever organisms that might have been in it. At the beginning, they have had the time to multiply, and the water might no longer be safe to drink. But it's living water. It's fresh. Freshly drawn from the well of salvation, will we say. Yes. And it's wisdom. It's wisdom that speaks. Are we going to shut our ears to what wisdom has to say? The person who is wisdom, who is speaking to us by the word, from the throne of glory. Think of the privilege that is ours this evening, that Christ is speaking to us, will we listen. And if we listen, we will have a blessing. We will have great blessings. What he describes again in Proverbs 8 in this way. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Riches and righteousness that will last forever. Riches and ours that we, riches and righteousness that we can take with us to the judgment seat. And we can be there. If we have found Christ in this world, we will be on the right side on the judgment day. And we can point to our riches. Perhaps what I should say is we will not need to point to these riches. The great judge will point to them. Yes. Yes. Here is somebody who can be admitted to heaven. It's what Christ in his wisdom granted to that person in this world. Speaking of these wonderful things and see the assurance. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, it shall find me. Think, children, here this evening. Think, this is something specially for you. Christ is saying, those that seek me early, in particular, those that seek me early in life, they will find me. That's to be an encouragement for children and young people. And even for others, you might think of the day that stretches on from this point in time. Seek him early then. Seek him now. For those that seek, we are told, they shall find. If you seek wisdom, you will find wisdom. You're not to seek wisdom in the sinful thoughts of your own mind. The selfish thoughts of your own mind, but you are freely invited. You are pressed on. You are pressed by Christ himself to seek wisdom from him. But let us notice the blessedness. The blessedness of those that listen. Happy are thy men, as the queen said to Solomon. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom, that going on hearing it. And if we think of Christ, his servants, his people, those who are doing his will, who are acting in some measure as he would have them act, and hearing wisdom. Yes, they have heard it already, but they know that they need more wisdom. They are to be asking, give me wisdom for this situation. Give me wisdom for that situation. Give me wisdom so that when I hear the word, I would receive it. I would make something of it. I would apply it. And do thou, by thy spirit, apply it to me. Yes, so we might pray. So we ought to pray. But the blessedness then of those who hear what Christ is saying. Let me go back again to Proverbs 8. As we are told, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. And if we're there, then we can look for a blessing. What are these gates and doors? Well, it's where at least Christ would come out to speak to us. You're perhaps at one of these gates this evening. You're here listening to the word of God. The word of God preached. But your question should be, will Christ come out and teach me wisdom? Will Christ come out and teach me? That should be your desire, and you wait there, and the service comes to an end. But that doesn't need to be the end of your waiting. You can think of things as you make your way home. You can go home, go to the throne of grace. You can go and pray. You can draw near to another place, as it were, when Christ can be expected to come out and meet you. There's to be an earnestness in our seeking for salvation. There's to be a perseverance. Blessed is he, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Oh, will you not? And let me come with you, as it were, in spirit, and be asking for wisdom, to be taught wisdom, to be taught the wisdom of entering in at the straight gate and going along the narrow way. And if it's in accordance with that picture, to say that we might stop on the narrow way and send out their petitions to God. Do we find a gate along the narrow way? Let us stand there or kneel there and watch for a moment or two, or watch for a longer period according to what is possible, and see if Christ will come out to meet us. Oh, blessed are they that are on the narrow way already. And blessed are they as they stop at this gate that they find. Blessed are they, blessed will you be if you take opportunities again and again to stop where you may find Christ. Yes, to stop where you may find Christ. Now, would that not be a blessed thing? To stop where Christ will meet with you. To stop a while. You come in the door of the church. You stop a while. Yes, watch at the gates. Ask the Lord to keep you from your mind wandering onto other things. Watch at these gates where Christ may come out to meet you. Ask that he would send up your cry to heaven, that he would come, and so that you would experience the blessedness of listening to the wisdom of Christ. Yes, it is a fellow sinner, a fellow human being that speaks to you. But the thing is, that Christ has ordained this means of preaching the gospel, and Christ may come out at one time or another to bless the word to your soul. And every time that happens, you are blessed indeed. Yes, think of Mary and Bethany sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha is complaining because she has been left to attend to the meal, and that was important. But oh, Mary had found this good part, something that was more important. She wanted wisdom for her soul. She wanted food for her soul, so she sat there at Jesus' feet, and she listened. Yes, and she got a blessing. Blessed was she, blessed was Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Yes, Martha had chosen the good part too, we can fully believe, but not on this occasion. She wasn't prepared to put everything else aside and come to join Mary and listen to what Jesus had to say. She might have got a great blessing there. Well, we've got to be wise. We're not to put away our duties in this world and go and live as a hermit in some cave or other, cutting ourselves off from the world as far as absolutely possible. That is, cutting oneself off from the world as far as we can, from the things of the world, I mean, spiritually and morally. But, you see, there's many a thing we can be doing, and at the same time, watching at the gate in the hope of getting a blessing, asking that the Lord would pour out his Spirit. There's something to be doing. And as you were perhaps thinking of others and thinking of the low state of the cause in our time, hear the Lord, we may visit your own soul and give you a blessing. The Lord may assure you, perhaps, that he has heard your prayer. And the many encouragements that are in the Word of God about God as one who is ready to hear prayer. Yes, and here was the Queen of Sheba, and she came to Solomon. Solomon, yes, here's a picture of Christ and the wisdom he dispenses. But she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of the acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words." No doubt she means, I did not fully believe the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And we might think of a soul being taken away from this world, being brought to eternal glory, and feeling this. I believe not the words until I came. I did not see the full reality of what was being told me. Yes, it was a true report that I heard on earth of thy acts and of thy wisdom. But now I see that thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. That's how it will be. And it may be also in the experience of a believer that there is a particular time after conversion of meeting with Christ. They heard and they believed, but they get some particular revelation through the word, through the preaching of the word it may be, so that they say, I didn't see anything like this in the wisdom of Christ before, but now I do. And it may be in connection with someone who has looked to Christ, but they have never received the assurance of faith. They have never perhaps received it in the measure that they might wish. And Christ appears to them in his wisdom, and he gives them light in a new way on the way of salvation, and new light, fresh light on Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. They get that fresh life, and there is a new degree of faith in their souls. Yes, Christ has come to meet that person. And they see in a way they never saw before that they are on the way to eternal glory. And so, what might be the result of that? Well, it's this, that they would, in a new and more intense way, be waiting at the gates and watching at the posts of the door, so that in the hope that Christ would come out to meet them again. Yes, there's a blessedness, you see. But what we can say is that if a sinner has found Christ, however questioning they may be about that, this is altogether certain, that Christ is working in them and revealing as much as he's wise to do, and that they will be most certainly brought to eternal glory at last. And we would do well to remember these words in Proverbs 13. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And to walk in the companionship as far as possible of the people of God, that's a wise thing to do. But oh, how much wiser that is this, to be seeking to walk in the companionship of the one who is infinitely wise. The one who is walking with Christ, however far off that person might feel, they will be made wise. Even to have, as far as consciousness is concerned at least, to have an occasional meeting with Christ. That's one who is blessed indeed. But on the other hand, as we are told, the companion of fools, it shall be destroyed. Or there may be fools that you have to keep company with. They may be of your own family. They are still foolish as far as their souls are concerned. But that's not what this verse is speaking about. The companion of fools, the one who is designing their company for its own sake, designing their conversation for its sake, that's somebody that's on the way to eternal destruction. What such a person needs is to meet with Christ, to find salvation in him. Yes, but it's the blessedness that's before us just now. The blessedness of those who have found Christ and to whom he has spoken in words of wisdom. They are his servants. They are seeking to do his will. They are seeking to stand before him, seeking to be in his presence. And however difficult their situation is, he has promised, as you have it in Isaiah 42, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Yes, blind. I will lead the blind, who are blind to the particular significance of the situation that they are going through just now. But I will lead them, the Savior is saying. They have found wisdom, they have listened to wisdom, they have sought wisdom and found it. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. That's the Savior's promise to everyone that he has found Christ. However little they may understand about it, the Savior may be leading you through some difficult pathway. You never thought you would be where you are, but look to him. Seek to listen to his wisdom. He speaks wisdom in plenty, more than you absolutely need. But still be asking for more. For he will lead you on. And it's a wise way. He brought them forth by the right way. We read in Psalm 107. It's a right way for you. Whatever way he is leading you on. Yes. And at last he will say to you, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. From the foundation of the world. Yes. But note the words of the Savior. When he says, the Queen of Sheba shall rise in the judgment with the men of this generation and shall condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A you is seeking to be where you can listen to the word of God. Are you searching the scriptures that you might find Christ? Remember how great a journey the Queen of Sheba took to listen to Solomon. And yes, she was fully satisfied with what she heard. Well, a greater than Solomon is here. Come and listen to him. Seek the Lord. Seek him this evening. Seek him now. Do not let time slip through your fingers. But remember the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon, and you, in a kind of imitation of what she did, you go to Christ. Go and ask him to speak the words of wisdom in your own soul. Go and ask him to apply the truth to you by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord, remember, hears prayer. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven will be the place that they will inhabit forever and ever. May that be true of us all. And may the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care. Bless us with all spiritual blessings. Turn us from our own ways that we might serve thee. Grant to bless us. Grant to redeem us from all iniquity. Receive us graciously and love us freely. Bless what we have been considering of thy word. May we have a meeting with Christ and many meetings through the word, through having the Holy Spirit apply the word to our souls. Bless what was spoken here today. Bless us when we gather from time to time. Bless thy word wherever it goes forth, and come with divine power to this nation, and grant that signs and wonders would be done. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus, pardon our sin, make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.